2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible, if you're able to stand. 2 Corinthians 6, 1. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I've heard thee in a time accepted. In the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the minister of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distress, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness of knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying, and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. Heavenly Father, beautiful portion of Scripture. Thank you, dear God, for how you helped me with this week. I pray, Lord, that as we study this together, continue our study on the Christian armor, Lord, that you'll help us to understand what the Bible is talking about here as we continue to lay the groundwork before we go piece by piece through the armor of God. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I think I have my bodyguard still behind me. Let me pull him up here a little bit. I may move him a little from side to side. I know the pulpit's blocking y'all a little bit there, but maybe you can see. But we are in our series on the Christian armor. And of course, we spent several weeks on spiritual warfare. And now we're going to get into the Christian armor and the specifics of it. If you look up the word armor in the New Testament, as we find it in God's Word, you'll find that it's described in three different ways. First of all, we looked last week at where it's mentioned as the armor of light. This week, we're going to look at the phrase, the armor of righteousness. And then lastly, two times in Ephesians chapter 6, it's called the armor of God. I love this portion of Scripture. Let me point out three things. Look at verse 1. We'll look at verse 3. We'll look at verse 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. First of all, it says this, we then as workers together with him. Let's stop right there. Now, Paul is saying this. I want to remind you whom I have ministered to. I want you to understand that those whom God has sent to you, we are workers together with him. And by the way, by him, he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I say this? It's a wonderful thing to be a co-laborer of Jesus Christ. He's going to talk about the ministry. This portion of Scripture from verse 1 to verse 10, I got to thinking, I think in every Bible college, I think every single Christian who, whether or not they are planning on working full-time in the gospel ministry, and by the way, all of us are full-time Christians, or whether or not we're involved in ministry in our local New Testament church, this portion of Scripture will help you tremendously to have what I call a ministry mentality, an understanding of what comes with that. And so he says, we then as workers together with him, it's a privilege to be a co-laborer with Jesus Christ. But it also comes with some responsibilities. Verse number 3, it says this, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. You have to understand, as ministers, if we give an offense, then that offense by the world will not be directed at us. It will be deflected off of us onto the ministry, onto the person of Jesus Christ that we represent. All of a sudden, a burden of responsibility comes on me. Whether you're a Sunday school teacher or a bus worker out there knocking on doors, you know what? You carry the name Jesus Christ with you. You carry the name of Blessed Hope Baptist Church with you. You offend because of something that you say or something that you do or how you conduct yourself. They're not going to say, well, that dirty rascal Jerry Ross. They're going to say, yeah, those Christians. Yeah, those preachers. Yeah, those bus captains. Yeah, that church. And there comes a responsibility. Listen, we can't just turn the finger of blame to them. What we've got to do is be careful not to give offense in, here's the phrase, in anything. But we need to do the exact opposite. Verse 4, it says, not only should we be careful not to give an offense, but verse 4, it says, but in all things, approving ourselves as ministers of God, which means this, as we go about ministry, we don't want to just avoid the negatives. We want to make sure that we're bringing the Christian positives into the ministry so that people will see proof. That word approving means to prove ourselves as ministers of God. It's one thing to say, I'm a child of God, but you know what? People are going to be watching. They're going to look. They want to see evidences of the fact that you're a child of God. It's one thing to say you're a preacher, but do you properly represent the Lord Jesus Christ? But in all things, approving ourselves as ministers of God. And then you'll see there's an entire list of things. We have this list that begins with in, and then in verse number 6, it switches to by, and then in verse number 9, it begins using the little word as. Do you see that? In verse number 4, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, knowledge. And then if you go down to verse 9, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. Now, in the middle of this list here, we find verse number 7, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and the left. So he said, watch this. You're a worker together with Christ. You're a co-laborer of Jesus Christ. You're a part of the ministry. And man, whether or not I'm in the pulpit or the pew, I want to be a part of the ministry. I want to be a part of the ministry. But you know what? I also have to understand that comes with the responsibility. And you know what? I'm going to be careful that I don't give offense in anything that would put the Lord Jesus Christ in bad light. But I also need to understand as I go out and minister that the way we approve ourselves as ministers of God is by making sure these character traits are firmly implemented into our lives. Now, let me kind of break these down a little bit before we go specifically into verse number 7. But I can break this list down into parts, and we won't take the time, obviously, to study out every phrase because I want to stay on a point here as far as the armor of the Lord and cover that tonight. But you know what? If you want to prove yourself as a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what? You're going to prove it out by how you handle trials and testings. And if you look at that, that's the first part of this list. When it begins the ends, it's talking about how we handle trials and testings. We look in the list there, in much patience. That phrase means cheerful endurance. Think about this. You know what? The world is going to watch you on your good day, but it's going to watch you 10 times harder on your bad day. They want to see, listen, everybody can sing praises to the Lord at noontime, but who's going to be like Paul and Silas when you're in the stocks at midnight? And by the way, your back's bleeding because you've been laid open because of the stripes that they... Hey, can you sing then? And the world's like, okay, this Christianity, does it just work during good or does it work during bad? So he's saying in much patience, cheerful endurance, in afflictions. If you look up that word, it comes from a root word that talks about pressure. How are you under pressure? How are you when it gets tough? How are you when it gets tight? Can you still live out? Can you still give no offense in anything? Can you still prove out yourself a minister of God? In necessities. Boy, this is good. You know, when you sign up for this thing called ministry, you know, a lot of times it's kind of like if you're not careful, you watch people in ministry. What you see is you see Brother Val have a day like today. You know, you see somebody, you tend to see the victories a lot. You know, we were talking to, we had both our granddaughters over for this afternoon for lunch, and we were talking about some things and different occupations and different things that sound interesting that they might want to go into one of these days. And I said, you know what, no matter what it is, there is the idea of what it is, and then there's the reality of what it is. I don't care what that is. You know, I mean, you know, there's a reason that we have recruiters in the military, okay? And there's a reason those brochures show the things that they show. And you know how many guys have said, I want to go into the military? You know why? Because they've watched about 10 war movies and they think that that's what the military is. Like, oh, those of you who have been in the military, you can say, well, preacher, that's a part of it. It is a part of it, but it's a very small part of it considering what most of the time is. But there's I think it's this, and there's the reality. And you know what I told them? I said, you know what? Whatever you're considering to do, what you ought to do is call somebody that's already in it and say, hey, can I follow you around? Can I go with you for a week? Can I see what you do every day on a day-to-day basis? Can I really look behind the scenes? And the honest truth is, the Christian life and the ministry is like, you know, people get saved and they think, oh my goodness sakes, I'm a Christian now. I'm never going to have another problem. All my problems have been solved because I have Jesus Christ as my Savior. And for about the first 3 months after you get saved, it's like you had 10 times the problems you had before you got saved. You know why? Because the devil, he doesn't wait. He attacks you right away to try to discourage you. And you know what? There's what we think it is, and then there's what the reality of it is. And what the Apostle Paul is saying here when he's writing this is, listen, you know what? Yes, the ministry's great, but you're going to have some cheerful endurance in the ministry. Hey, I'll tell you today, folks, the ministry is great, but you're going to be under a lot of pressure from time to time. The ministry is great, but you know what? There's going to be a necessity. Sometimes there's going to be a lack of basic needs. You know how many times in the ministry there's not enough of something? There's not, you know, God kind of designs it that way. I preached a message one time entitled this, Not Enough Plus God Is Enough. Not enough plus, you know, God, if you look at the great victories in the Bible, you know, you're going to see somebody that's challenged to step out by faith that seems ill-equipped and ill-prepared. But you know what? God wants them to go because he doesn't want them doing it by themselves. Hey, you come on, little David went in to talk to Saul, and Saul tried to put armor on him. He said, I improved these things. You see, come on, you see probably a 18, 19-year-old boy with a sling stop at a creek bed, pick up 5 stones, and he's going to go take on a grizzled veteran, a warrior, and in full armor, and you're like, he don't have enough. But he did have enough because not enough plus God is enough. And you know what? Part of the necessities that we face in the ministry. Preacher, I don't know how we're going to do this. We don't have the resources. Praise the Lord, we don't. No, listen, praise the Lord, we don't, or we would think that we did it. And I mean that. In almost every arena of life, God's going to make us be serving from a deficit. So you know what? In the ministry, you don't flip out over that after a while. It's just kind of par for the course. Well, we need to do this. God told us we need to do this. And I think sometimes I see good men kind of just look at me and they're trying to be behind their preacher. But you know what, folks? Listen, I've stood up and said that so many times. Without enough, and watch God make up what we didn't have and see it pulled off. And isn't that what faith is? Honestly, isn't that what faith is? And so in necessities, in distresses, that's talking about calamity there. I'm talking about the ministry, folks. I'm not trying to discourage you. I'm just telling you, if you want to get in this thing, if you think it's a bed of roses, it's not. Yeah, I'd like to be in the bus ministry. I've had somebody come recently and said, preacher, I want to be involved in the bus ministry. I'm glad. But you know why so many people get in the bus ministry and last about 6 months, maybe 12 months, maybe 18 months? Because you know what? They had a picture of what they thought it would be. I'm going to bring a bunch of kids and have 6 of them get saved in one. And you know, if you do it long enough, eventually you will. But there's also going to be a lot of discouraging times. There's going to be those times where you get on the bus and say, I've got 40 signups. And then you're going to be coming to church saying, how in the world did we end up with 15 on the bus when 40? I'll tell you why. Because people live in Greene, Sullivan County, and Clay County are a bunch of liars. That's why. That's why. They're a bunch of liars. They'll stand there on Saturday and swear on the King James Holy Bible. They're going to ride your bus. And then you know what? They're gone. They're down at the lake. But you know, you're going to have those times. And you know what God says? Okay, listen, in calamity, watch this. You know what we faced in the last, 18 months? Some national calamities. We really did. I think a lot of them were fabricated, but they're still calamities. And it's like the whole world's looking over at the church now saying, how are you going to handle this? What are you going to do now? So think about that. He says in stripes. Can I say this, folks? That means exactly what it says. Anybody faced that yet? But you know what? We may have to one of these days. And will we still stand faithful? Look at the next one. In imprisonments. Hey, you know what? I'm glad I'm reading someone like the Apostle Paul, because every time I think, boy, I'm telling you what, it's getting tough in America. It's getting tough in America. I think Paul's going, y'all don't even know. But we might. And he said, hey, you know what? You want to be part of the ministry? Then you know what? Listen, you know how you approve yourself worthy of being in a ministry, worthy of co-laboring with Jesus Christ, by how you handle trials and testings. In tumults, by the way, that means in the midst of commotions and confusions. That's talking about riots, folks. We saw some of that. I read a news thing off of Fox News on my Fox News app this afternoon. I was just flipping down through it. You know that there was a group of Christians that went down by the river. I think it was either a lakeside or a riverside in Portland, Oregon this morning. Listen to me. This morning, to have an open-air service with preaching and singing, and a bunch of these AFTIA thugs showed up in body armor with clubs, flash bombs, went in there and disrupted the Christian worship service. Come on, they're throwing flash bombs in the midst of children and teenagers. Attack the people, take all of their chairs and their PA equipment, throw it in the lake. They were going to have a picnic. They brought food, stole all of their food. Police cars are sitting there watching them do it and do nothing about it. The preacher and some of the men were literally going over to the officers and saying, do your job. You know what they did? They sat there and watched it. Folks, that's not in China. That's not in Russia. You can get on Fox News app right now and you can see whether or not I'm exaggerating this story at all. What I'm saying is this. I don't know what we're going to face this before this is over. But you know what? What we ought to do is prove ourselves. Watch this. Approve ourselves as ministers of God no matter what we have to face. In laborings, that means toiling on in weariness. In watchings, that means sleeplessness and keeping awake while others sleep. Praise the Lord, Brother James. I know you've already found out a little bit about that. Before you get done pastoring very long, you're going to understand. There's a lot of nights, folks listening. I tell people all the time, I'm not looking for pity. I'm not bragging. I'm not complaining. I'm telling the truth. You're in the ministry. You're going to walk the floors at night when most of your congregation sound asleep. It's just part of it. And it just comes with it in fasting. And so what he's saying is this. You want to be approved. Come on. If you want to be approved before God and approved in the eyes of the world and approved in the Christian realm as ministers of God, then you know what? What are you going to do and how are you going to handle the trials and tribulations that come? Brother Smith, thank you. I think that testimony was timely. You know what he's facing? He's facing everything that I'm talking about here. Praise God, they come back and you know what? They're trying to get their gas tank filled back up and get some medical help and get re-energized. And you know what he did? He said, when we get back, we're going to try to hit the ground running. You pray for us. Folks, this is ministry. I don't know what y'all thought it was, but this is ministry. I talked about those folks that this morning, and I could have, again, went all over the room and talked about people that have been faithful. You know why they were faithful? They were faithful during when they had to cheerfully endure. They were faithful under pressure. They were faithful when they lacked the basic needs. They were faithful during calamities, stripes, imprisonments. I think we've have dodged that in the midst of commotions and confusions, toiling on in weariness sometimes, sleeplessness, keeping awake while others sleep, and fastings. But you know what, folks? If we're going to be a part of this, that's what it is. Number two, look at the next little group of words there. You know how we approve ourselves as ministers of God? By how we handle trials and testings, by how we live out our lives. There ought to be certain character traits that we just are known for. In verse number 6, watch this, by pureness. I know I've hit on this a lot lately because it just seems like God keeps bringing it up in the scriptures and I'm not going to dodge it. We must live a pure life in an impure world. By pureness, by knowledge. You know what? If you're going to be a minister of Jesus Christ, you better get in this book, like I said this morning. You better do some studying. Okay? We need some people that are ready to give an answer. There's a lot of people that are on their way to hell, and they've been fed a bushel basket of lies. And you know what's going to destroy those lies, those barriers that the devil's put between them and salvation? The truth. And you know what? When they bring something up, you know what? You're not always, I told you the other night, you're not always going to have all the answers, but that doesn't mean you can't go back and find the answer so you're ready next time. Well, we need some well-studied ministers of God that's able to face down some of the lies that the devil's told these people that's keeping them from Jesus and stand up with knowledge, Bible knowledge, and help them get to the Lord Jesus Christ by long-suffering. We mentioned patience, that's cheerful endurance. Long-suffering's difference, forbearance, fortitude to endure suffering. You know, sometimes patience, cheerful endurance means that's kind of a short little thing you've got to get through for a while, and you put a smile on your face and say, hey, this too will pass, and hey, a week from now, I don't have to worry about it. Long-suffering, sometimes that long haul, hey, this is just something I'm going to have to carry, and guess what? It's just part of what God's will for my life is, and you know what? I'm going to march on. I'm going to serve God. And if I have to do some suffering in the midst of it, I'm just going to do it. How about this, folks? Let's be reminded of these things. These are good for us. By kindness. By kindness. You know, folks, I want to stand shotgun straight. I want to fight the devil. We're going to talk about fighting in just a minute. But never, never forget the power of kindness. Never forget that when we interact with people, one of the benchmarks, one of the character traits, one of the things that they ought to experience on a regular basis from Christian people are acts of kindness. Come on, watch this. Words of kindness. That's going to break through a lot of those crusty barriers and get you to the heart of the person so that you can influence them for Christ by the Holy Ghost. I kind of showed that this morning. Folks, we're not going to be able to do this in the power of the flesh. That's just not going to work. We better get our lives shuffled right. We better get ourselves ordered correctly and let the Holy Spirit be in control. By love unfeigned, that means sincere love, not fake love, sincere love, the sincerity of our love. So you know what? How do we approve ourselves as ministers of Christ? By how we handle trials and testings, by how we live out our lives. Number three, if you look at verse 7, it's by how we stand and fight. I'm going to come back to that one. Number four, look at verse 8, by how we handle personal attacks. Now, this is, again, what we signed up for. Here it is. By honor and dishonor. How in the world can we approve ourselves by honor and dishonor? What's that mean? That means there's going to be times that people are going to honor your efforts in the ministry. By the way, those are sweet times, good times. Rare times. Let me just say it. Rare times, but good times and sweet times. Okay, good. That's good. That's always nice. Good to be treated well. Good for your efforts to be recognized. Good for you to experience a little bit of fame. It's talking about fame and infamy. That's what this means, honor and dishonor. But I promise for every pat on the back that you get, you're going to get a lot of kicks somewhere else, and that's just the ministry. For every kind word somebody says about what you're trying to do, there's going to be a lot of people that speak unkindness. You know how you approve yourself a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ? You know what? You don't let compliments ruin you, and you don't let criticism ruin you, because both of them can ruin you. So he said, you know what we do? We approve ourselves by honor and dishonor, by evil report, good report. In life, if I just do right and serve God and I'm kind to people and I stand on the Bible and I obey the Bible, good night. Everybody's surely going to love me and speak well of me. Oh, no, they're not. Let's talk about defamation and acclamation. You're going to experience both. You're going to experience both in the same day. You can experience both in the same hour. I mean, literally, I've knocked on doors and had a sweet lady came to the door here just recently. We were out visiting, and you know what? I said, hello, I'm Jerry Ross. She said, I know who you are. I know the voice. She said, I hear you on the radio. She said, by the way, for years you wrote an article in Greene County Daily Paper. She said, we loved that article. Why don't you write an article in the Greene County Daily Paper anymore? And there was a stretch where I used to write a monthly article. And then when Beth Clark was working down there, she liked what I was writing before the communists took over the paper down there. And before the communists took over the paper, and the liberals took over the paper down there. And she said, "Preacher, why don't you write something every week?" And I mean, for 2 years, every single week on a Friday copy, there was an article in there, Pastor Jerry Ross. And man, Walmart started selling booze in Lent, and I wrote an entire article calling them out on it. And you know what? Beth Clark published it. You know why? Listen, you know, she had my back, but you know what? Then paper changed hands. Come on, the conglomerates got a hold of it. This is why we need small town newspapers, by the way, that's not controlled. You know, the same outfit that runs this paper runs I don't know how many papers. They own the Brazil paper. They own a bunch of other ones. That's why you're getting so little local news. And that newspaper that we have in Greene County, it's run by a bunch of communists and liberals, in case I didn't say that. And she said, "Well, why don't you write in the paper anymore?" I said, "Oh, I'll write to them. I've tried to write." I said, "They won't even publish a letter to the editor from Pastor Jerry Ross." You know why? Because that Greene County paper down there is run by a bunch of communists and liberals. They don't want balanced reporting. They want their agenda advanced. That's all they want. And what I'm saying is, folks, listen to me. You know what? I can have that visit, and this lady just adores me, and I can knock on doors, three doors down, have somebody cuss me. Guess what? It's called the ministry. Grow a thick skin. Don't let the compliments go too much to your head. Come on. And don't let the criticisms destroy you. You know what? In your heart of hearts, if you know you're being true to that book, then that ought to be good enough. If you know you're doing what God's called you to do, that's got to be good enough. People applaud, that's a bonus. If they boo you, let them boo you, but just keep doing what God's called you to do. That's what you got to do. That's called the ministry. By evil report, by good report, as deceivers and yet true. Now, by the way, I shouldn't have looked up that definition of deceiver, because it means this: a roving tramp. A roving tramp, an imposter, a deceiver. And I thought, well, I didn't know. I know that I've been called a lot of things. Are they calling me a roving tramp? And the Bible says that's the kind of mean things that they're going to say about it. They're going to say that guy's a deceiver. Come on, I've had people look me in the face and say, "You're a leader of that cult down there, Blessed Oak Baptist Church." And I think to myself, listen, I go away from those encounters brokenhearted. I think to myself, listen, folks, Jerry Ross has a lot of faults, but one of my faults is not being insincere. And I serve the God with all sincerity. I'm in this for the right reasons. Okay, again, I've got my faults, but I'm not insincere. And I'm not a deceiver. And I stand up here and preach the Bible, and I've got to preach the Bible. But to have people, you know, to know that that's being said in the community. And I sit there and get in my car sometimes and think, I wonder how, you know, the devil sat right on your shoulder. He'll say, you know, I wonder how many people in this county believe that, you know. I wonder how many people are saying that. Man alive, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Well, I guess I'm going to go to the next door and knock on that door. And go to the next door and knock on that door. You know, listen, folks, this is nothing different than the Apostle Paul faced. He would leave a town, see people saved, start a church, get things going. He wouldn't be gone 6 months. And even some of his own converts were beginning to question who he was and whether he had a right, what authority he had, and whether or not he was truly an apostle. It's sad how many times when Paul's writing these epistles, he has to stop and defend himself. But that's just comes with the territory. So you know what? Grow a thick skin. Don't worry about it. Just get more callous on your knuckles. Go out there, because you know what? Somewhere, God's got somebody ready that needs the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, Brother Val, somewhere there's six little children that still need Jesus. That's why we're going to keep rolling those buses. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care if hair lips everybody in the county. We're going soul winning. We're going to run buses. We're going to have church. We're going to do what we're supposed to do. And you know what? Before this thing's over, we could be called a lot of bad things for simply doing what God has called us to do. And then the last thing, by how we handle personal sacrifice and selfless service. If you look at this last little list, verse number 9, some of this you just have to understand. And again, maybe I'm going too much on this, but I want you to understand that if you're going to serve God, you got to do it for the right reasons if you're going to be in it long term. Okay? As unknown and yet well known. Okay? Willing to be a nobody to make Jesus a somebody. Willing to be a nobody to make Jesus a somebody. As dying, and behold, we live. Willing to die to the flesh so we can live in the spirit. As chastened and not killed. Desiring to be corrected. This is kind of a funny phrase. As chastened and not killed. Desiring of God to correct us. By the way, chastened, if you're not chastened, you're not one of God's children. But it's not just talking about being chastened of God. It's talking about sometimes being chastened by people who don't even know what they're talking about. It's amazing how many people want to correct me and they've never even been to my church. They can tell me everything that's wrong with Blessed Hope and they've never been there. I'll be at the door listening to them go on and on about our church. Well, I know about your church. And they start saying, I say, wait, I don't remember you. When were you there? Well, I've never been there. Oh, and yet you know all this about Blessed Hope Baptist Church and you've never been there? I said, listen, and I always say the same thing. By the way, I'm trying to give you, we got to be ready to give an answer. I say, you've never been there? Well, no, I've never been there, but so wait, stop. So you've got two choices. You can base your opinion about Blessed Hope Baptist Church on about a bunch of mindless small town gossip, or you could actually do the noble thing, the honorable thing, and pull in the driveway and walk into service and sit down and watch God work in one of our services and then come to your own opinion based on what you saw, not a bunch of bitter used-to-bes and what they're saying about Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Everybody's got to make a choice in that. But folks, that's going to come with it. Come on. As chastened, not killed, as sorrowing, yet always rejoicing, to carry much grief, but learn to smile while doing it. Sorrowing. Part of the ministry, sorrowing. Preacher, you laugh a lot. I do. You smile a lot. Yep. That people tell me, preacher, I just come in, I just wait. I come to church because one of the things is I just want to see that Jerry Ross, my pastor, he's going to walk up and he's going to smile. But you know what, folks? Those that laugh a lot and smile a lot grieve a lot. And one man said this, the man who laughs the most, probably the one who cries the most privately. It's the ministry. Hey, it's the ministry. We all have heartaches. As poor, yet making many rich. Willingness to do without so others can be made rich. As having nothing, yet possessing all things. Now let's go back and I'll summarize real quickly verse number 7. Watch this. You know, one of the ways we approve ourselves as ministers of God, yes, by how we handle trials and testings. And yes, by how we live out our lives. And yes, by how we handle personal attacks. And yes, by how we handle personal sacrifice and selfless service. We're going to sit around feeling sorry for ourselves. We're just going to say, this comes with it. But also, folks, we approve ourselves as ministers of Christ by how we stand and fight. And verse number 7 tells us that there is a time that we must stand and we must fight. There is a time to put on the armor of God. There is a time to hoist that sword and that shield. And so let's take a look at this verse number 7. We see this. How can we stand? How are we supposed to fight? How are we supposed to stand and fight? Number 1, by the word of truth. By the word of truth. We're going to cover this in some detail when we get into the part in Ephesians chapter 6. But folks, listen to me. I tried to take some time this morning and elevate in our hearts and minds the importance of this book. But folks, this is the sword. This is the sword of the Spirit. This is the whip weapon. I mentioned when we were talking about the armor of light, how honesty was connected to that description. Well, again, I told you in every single instance where you find the word armor mentioned, you'll find truth mentioned or honesty mentioned with it. Folks, I hope that you did that little exercise. I hope the Holy Spirit helped you in this last week. Maybe your preacher stood here last Sunday night and I said, I want us to have an assignment. I want us going forward in the next 6 days that everything we do and everything we say, we be honest. We be honest, completely 100% honest in everything we say, everything we do. And you know what? I found myself a couple of times saying something and saying, wait a minute, hold on. That's not exactly true. You know what? It ought to be exactly true. Sometimes, I know you can't give every piece of information about everything, but sometimes I said something and thought, you know, I've left out something there that I really need to say so that they understand the honesty, the truth of that situation. And you know what? I felt that I've carried that this week. You know, crazy things happen when you stand up in a pulpit and say, hey, let's work on this thing. Let's be more honest. It just seems like always you're tested and challenged. And so I've been looking for some straw. And I was asking some of the guys, where can I get some straw? Lord willing, me and my wife's going to take a little trip in September and try to get away on a vacation. So please don't die. Would you please not die? Nobody die, please. And so anyway, we're going to try to get away. But I'm going to go up to the mountains with Brother Derek and Brother Dirksen, try to do a little bow hunting, and we're going to try to kill an elk. Now, I've gone elk hunting before, but I've always taken a gun. And so I wanted to buy, Brother Ryan, I wanted to buy one of those full-size, full-body elk 3D targets, you know, because I need it, obviously, to do proper preparation, until I found out they're $1,500, and I said, I don't think I need that. And so I found this video online, this do-it-yourself lifetime, life-size elk target. And so the guy took a piece of plywood and he took a picture of it. And then he gritted it out on, and this is important. I hope you're taking notes on this, all right? He said, if you can find a picture of an elk online and you size it down so it's 8 inches wide, an elk is about 8 feet from the tip of the nose to the tail. So it's 8 feet, so you get it about 8 inches. And then you take a piece of tracing paper, and I'd like to say that I did all this, but I sent the video to my wife and said, could you do this for me? And she did. And you take a pencil and you trace out this on tracing paper, and then you grid it so it's 1 inch, 1 inch. You found it? 1 inch, 8 inches, 4 inches, and you place that grid over that. And then I went out and bought a piece of styrofoam. Okay, that too. No, I didn't. I did not do that. Brother Young, you know those three pieces of styrofoam you had upstairs? There's two pieces of styrofoam right upstairs now. I had to correct my honesty there a little bit. So. Did you buy that, or did the church buy that? The church bought that. I stole a piece of styrofoam from y'all. Had to tell me what I owe the church on that. Yeah, no, I got to be honest, brother. And so I got this 2-inch styrofoam, and my wife's got this laying on our dining room table. And then we grid everything out 1 foot by 1 foot. We see where every line on the picture. She did all of this, actually. I just like to say we because the two are one flesh. And so if she does something, I do something. Being somewhat honest in that, you know. And so she traces all of this thing. And then it comes out amazing, you know. And then I Googled the kill area on it. And I see the kill area. We impose the kill area on this. And so then I've got, I'm telling you all this for a reason. I went to buy 9 bales of straw because I needed 3 bales stacked on 3, 3, and then 3. So I needed 9. So I found a neighbor down the road that had straw for sale. And they had a can out there and had straw out there. And I put money in for 9 bales and loaded them on the truck and drove them home. And I get all of them situated on there. You know, 3, 3, 3, and I look down beside the truck, and there's another bale. Well, 3 times 3 is 9, and that makes 10. Okay, you know what? You gonna be honest? You gonna be honest? Well, preacher, it's just a little thing. It's the little things that's killing us in Christianity. It's the little things. Come on, it's the little things. That's the difference between having the power of God on you and not having the power of God on you. It's the little things. Folks, listen, what I'm saying is this. You want to go into battle? You want to do spiritual warfare? We better stop making excuses for little things. We better start stepping up. We better start listening to the Holy Spirit of God. So when I got all done, Cheryl said, hey, we need to get, you had an appointment that evening. And I said, honey, I'll run in and get ready in just a second. I got a bale of straw I got to get back. Went over and put the bale of straw down, went and knocked on the door, and person wasn't home, and left him a note so they understood, hey, I put that bale of straw. What are you doing? I want to be approved as a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know if they saw me count or not. I didn't do it on purpose. I thought I counted them out right. But you know what? The thing about it is, just be honest. Just be honest. And that's what it's talking about, the word of truth, folks. Listen, truth is going to come back and face you young people. I've said this. I love you to death, but some of you have already gotten into the habit of lying. You lie to yourself. You lie to your parents. Come on, you fudge the truth, you change the story depending on who you're telling what. You go home from school, come on, you go home from school and something happened at school, you're going to make the authorities seem worse than they were and you better than you were. That means you're a liar. And if you don't get a hold of that in your life, you're going to find out that there's a piece of armor. We go down through the piece of armor, there's a piece of armor that's absolutely vital. And you're going to be destroyed because of this word of truth. I've got to hurry, word of truth. And then it says the power of God. And you think about Ephesians chapter 6, and you know, this is so perfectly laying the groundwork for what we're going to be teaching on out of Ephesians chapter 6. But the Bible says in that portion of scripture where it talks about the armor of God, let me get to it real quick here. And it says this, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Wait a minute. And in the power of, folks, listen, again, hey, you're going to put all the armor of God in, but you go in your own power, your own strength, that ain't going to work. So what are you talking about? The word of truth. What are we talking about? We're talking about the power of God. We're saying, Lord, I'll go to battle. I don't want to go without you. Come on, I'll walk down to the valley and I'll face that giant. But Lord, I'm not going by myself. You know, sometimes it's God looking down and say, well, Gideon, that's a good army, but that's too many. You're going to think you did it. Whittle them down. Have them go down to the creek and take a drink. First of all, let them, all of them want to go home, go home. By the way, then get the other ones down at the creek. What do you got left? 300. Okay. This is how we're going to do it. And you know what? When Gideon, come on, when he hollered out the sword of the Lord and of Gideon, it wasn't, hey, here comes Gideon. It was the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. You know what? Without God, he wasn't going to win that thing. I already mentioned this, but God likes to, listen, God loves it when we as Christians are willing to take an underdog position. Preacher, there's more working for the devil out there than working for God. You just noticed? That didn't happen in the last year. Come on, that was the way it was when I signed up for this thing back in 1978. It's the way it's always been. It's always been the few. Let me say it. It's always been the few. Narrows the way, few there be that find it. Okay, you know, the ones that are truly willing to go and be laborers in the harvest, it's always a few. Thank God for the few. Well, then why can we win if we only have a few? Because we've got God. Because we've got God. So we got the word of truth, the power of God. Then I want to get to this, the armor of righteousness. And then, isn't that phrase interesting? I love this. The armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. You think about that, the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. Let me just give you some quick observations. Your best protection against evil attacks is found in doing right. The armor of righteousness, it was called the armor of light. It needs to be the armor of light. You can't put the armor of light over works of darkness. You got to cast out the works of darkness, put on the armor of light. We taught that last week. But if you're going to put on the armor, it's got to be the armor of righteousness. You know what? I think Brother Daniel, I preached a message once called Daniel's Philosophy of Life. And everybody says, dare to be a Daniel. How many times have I heard somebody preach on dare to be a Daniel? But you know what? If we're going to dare to be a Daniel, we've got to understand his basic philosophy of right of life. And this is what Daniel's basic philosophy of life is. This is it, folks. It's not complicated. Do right. Do right. Do right. Here's a portion of the king's meat, the wine that he drinks. What's the right thing to do? Sorry, I can't do that. It's not the right thing to do. Hey, they passed a law. Next 30 days, nobody prays. When Daniel's got to say, well, what's the right thing to do? And folks, we're talking about truth. We're talking about right. Those things, Siamese twins, all right? Truth and right. Truth is telling the truth. Right is doing the right thing. And so you know what? If we're going to be soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what? You're going to be faced with decision. Come on, young people, this week, I love you to death. This week, I think a lot of you are choosing to do right. You're making good decisions. But every single one of you are going to be faced with these hard moments, and mom and dad's not going to be there, and you can do wrong or you can do right. You say, well, nobody knows. Yeah, God knows. Do right. Just do the right thing. Your best protection against evil attacks is found in doing right. We could go back. Remember when Daniel why this entire law got passed about no praying? Remember, there was a bunch of jealousy because the king was about to make Daniel the number one. Come on, he was going to be the chief ruler under the king, and there was a bunch of jealousy. And so they said, you know what? Let's launch an investigation. And I want every one of you to listen. Let's turn over every stone. Let's look into his finances. Let's look into his morals. Let's look into every part of his life. We're going to find something. And you know what they did? They came back and said, man, the only thing that I know we could use against him, the only thing that we could bring accusation is just in his worship, his faithfulness to the Lord God Jehovah. Would to God. Come on, I'm not there. I wouldn't want that investigated. Would you want that investigation? Well, let's get to the point where we could welcome that investigation into our lives. I mean, you know what? Let's just say, okay, you know what? If they're going to accuse me, if the world's going to accuse me, they're going to have to accuse me that I'm just too loyal to the Bible. I'm too loyal to God. I take Christianity way too... That's going to be the only thing that can bring back. The only thing we can use against that. Wonder, I want to say this. Wonder how many preachers aren't saying what they need to say because, you know what, somebody's got dirt on them. I promise you this is true. Wonder why men who ran a campaign that said that they would fight for right all of a sudden have gone quiet and flipped sides. I wonder why some of our Supreme Court justices that we rejoiced, celebrated when they are nominated, all of a sudden are falling down on the wrong side. I wonder if somebody's investigating. I wonder if somebody set something up. I wonder if there's some pictures. I wonder if there's some dirt. Now, folks, listen to me. You know what's going to embolden you to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ? Do right. Do right. Do right. And so your best protection against evil attacks is found in just doing right. And then it says this, the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. We'll finish with this thought. Watch this. And I had to think about that. I had to read some commentaries. I wanted to make sure that I got some other men's ideas. I looked at the original language. I did all that you're supposed to do. And then I set this thing up and I just stared at it. And some of what was said in the commentaries, I think, reinforced what I've seen and what I wanted you to see tonight as we get ready to leave. When it talks about the armor of God, and it says on the right hand and on the left, what does this soldier, what does this warrior have in his right hand? He has the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You know what? Which just keeps taking us back to what I think's been kind of the theme of the day. This is it. You got to keep this in your right hand. But not only that, when we study this other piece of armor, something said about this other piece of armor that I remember the first time I really noticed it, I was young, and I wanted to fuss with the Lord. I wanted to argue about it a little bit. Well, when it gets down to, what's he got on his left arm there? It says on the right hand and on the left. It doesn't say on the left hand. He's holding that shield. And you know what? When we get that piece of armor, it's going to say this. Above all. Think about that. Now compare the other pieces. Helmet of salvation? I think I would have said, Brother Jane, I'd have wrote that different. You know, above all, have the helmet of salvation. Come on, the sword of the Spirit. I'm going to tell you something, folks. You need this. But you need this. And I think there's a lot of Christians that have this. And they don't really understand this piece of armor. And without this piece of armor, this is the above all piece of armor. The Bible goes so far to say this, that which is not done of faith is sin. And we're going to study that piece of armor out. I think the Lord will help you. You've been patient. I went a little long this morning, went a little long this evening. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being hungry to hear the word of God. Amen. Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, that you'd bless our time. Well, there's so much in here. Help us, Lord, to understand we're going to put on the armor if we break down the pieces. Lord, we've got to make sure that it's the armor of light. And we've got to make sure it's the armor of righteousness. We've got to make sure it's the armor of God. So, Lord, we sang a lot of soldier songs tonight. Thank you for that. Brother Thomas just carried the theme of, of this series right over into our song service, and we're rallying the troops and singing soldier songs. And what a blessing. Lord, I pray, dear God, as we go about the rest of this week, Lord, we looked at honesty last week. When I speak, am I being honest? When I speak, am I being truthful? And Lord, with the same seriousness we brought to that examination of our life, may we take a look at Brother Daniel's example and say, Lord, on this week, along with being honest, as long as maintaining that strictly before you, Lord, I also want to just make sure I'm doing the right thing. I just want to do the right thing, and I want to do the right thing the right way. So help me to have wisdom. Lord, help us as we go about to live for you. Lord, as we continue, Lord, talking about studying this importance of the Christian armor. Bless this time, we pray in Jesus' name.